Okay. Your first order of the day is breathe. I need to breathe, so y'all can just breathe with me. It's just been crazy this morning. Actually, it's been a crazy week. So breathe. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us air. And we can breathe the air in and breathe the stress and things and stuff and issues. Because you're big enough to handle everything. So thank you. You know, it's amazing when you get kind of wound up, what a few breaths of air just in. And be sure to do the out part too. In and out works really good. What an idea he had.
Amen.
Air. Wow. Okay. Everybody ready for a little word today?
Yeah.
I'm going to share with you what the Lord's been teaching me about getting ready and being prepared. Oh, everybody say, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Either you're not on board with getting ready, or it's scary to you, or you were asleep. Anyway, let's just pray a minute. Father, you're awesome. You're exceptionally, magnificently, stupendously, out of the box, extraordinarily awesome. All the time, every day, in every way, in every situation, you do not change. Wow. Wow. Would you help us today to get to know you better? And help us to have hearts to prepare. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for being here always, always. We just want to acknowledge your presence. Creator of the universe right now is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Jesus is in us and we are in him. What a group we have here. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we just give our hearts to you right now. We open our hearts for you to speak what we need to hear. And Lord, I know that you can do, I don't know how you do it, but you can speak personally to each person all at once because of who you are. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, is he not something special?
Yes.
Wow. So the goal for the message here today, the little teaching, is for us to get ready for our future so we can approach it with no fear and just have confidence in God. And I think we all need that because of everything that's happening in our world, in our country, in our state. We can't get away from it. We don't have to focus on it, but it's happening. It's just the way it is. So this message is a time to prepare. And what the Lord's been showing me, it's so important that we get prepared spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And we all want to do the physical part. I mean, if you think there's going to be shortages, you're out there buying toilet paper and tuna fish, right? Something really good. Or you've ordered the little food packages just in case the world almost ends and doesn't, and you can cook in your backyard or whatever. And preparing physically is important. And preparing emotionally is important. But it all starts with preparing spiritually. Because if we get our hearts tuned in through the Father and prepare our hearts spiritually, the emotional stuff will just come in line. And we'll hear him so clearly that we'll know what to get when we need to get it, and the physical stuff will be provided, because that's who our God is. He takes care of his kids. He can't help himself. That's the kind of a father he is. Proverbs 4:23. I know you probably all know that verse. Above all else, above everything, guard your heart with all diligence, because everything that you do flows out of your heart. So that's why we always focus on heart issues and getting our heart tuned in. And then Proverbs 7 verse 3 says, write my words on the tablet of your heart. Think about that. Your heart is got a little tablet in it. It has stuff written on it. But if we get his word written on it, that takes care of everything else. But if we don't have his words, we got somebody else's words written on it. Maybe from past experiences, or maybe from watching a news show. Maybe. We might have fear. We can have all kinds of things written on our heart. That's why he said, get my word written on your heart. And that's a process. So the way we do that is we pay attention to what we hear, we pay attention to what we see, and because we are guarding it, we can go like this to stuff we're not supposed to hear. Oh, no, 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 not going to hear that, not going to hear that, not going there right now, not going there right now. Sometimes we have to do that. I mean, that is if you don't have an off button on whatever device you're hearing it from. We don't have to listen to everything. Jesus said over and over again, take heed what you hear. That means you are in control of your ears and you have a choice. We have so many choices and so many decisions to make, so many places where we can say, oh, I'm not going there. Not me. Take heed what you let in your eyes, what you look at, because those things get written on our heart too. When the world unraveled last spring, and the United States unraveled with the rest of the world, a lot of them have been unraveled for a long time, but now we're in the mess. Our state is in the mess. Our community's in the mess. That woke me up. I don't know about you all, but that makes you go, I got to pay attention here. So I said, okay, Lord, I can see the handwriting on the wall. I can read Matthew 24, 25. I can see stuff's coming. What do I do to prepare? And he said, get to know me. I thought, really? That's what I thought, Doris. I'm already doing that. And actually, almost every morning when I wake up, it's like, I actually know the creator of the universe. How blessed to know you, Lord. I'm so grateful I know you. So when he said, get to know me, I went, can you please explain, how do I get to know you? He said, get to know me better. Get to know me better. You see, whatever we know about him, he's limitless. He's so big. And I said, okay, well, that sounds like a good plan. How do I do that? He said, study my names and those things that define my character. Get those written on your heart as to who I am. You know, right now, if we could see clearly into the spirit realm, we know the Holy Spirit is here, don't we? We know because we're born again, we're in Jesus, he's in us. So the King of the universe is here, right? And we know that God is everywhere. My dad is always with me. So if we could see right now, there's God the Father in everything he is, Jesus in everything he is right here, right now, and the Holy Spirit right now, right here. And if we all looked up and just could zero in on one aspect, you know, we'd all see something different. Because he's so big. Because he's so big. So when he said, get to know me, what he's saying is, I'm bigger than what you know. Whatever you know, I'm bigger than that. I am more than that. So I didn't argue with him anymore. I said, okay. So we need to be prepared. Benjamin Franklin said, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. Yes. Just in case preparing scares you, being unprepared ought to scare the bejeebies out of you. We have to know and acknowledge his word and get in agreement with it. Whenever you have a negative thought about God, he will do, he won't do that, he's not going to come through here, stop and ask yourself, why am I thinking that? What scripture am I basing that on? Well, you're going to find it's not a scripture, but it's something that's in your heart. Maybe you didn't even know it was there, but when those things come up, you know, it's so easy to just go, oh, well, I'm just going to ignore that. No, don't ignore it. Pay attention, because it's coming from your heart. You got to deal with it. And one of the really good ways he's shown me to deal with these things is to know him, to know his name, to know, there's so many. There are so many names that he, and every one of his names describes something about his character, something about who he is. And he is all of the things all at the same time. He is never just, oh, today I got my healer hat on. Well, today I'm God, I'm going to take care of you, I'll provide for you hat on. Well, you know, today I got the, I'm your strength hat, I got that one on. Oh, let's see, you need peace? Let me find that hat. Oh yeah, here's my, no, he's everything all at once, all the time, 100% of the time. He's all of it. So it will be to our benefit to find out what all those things are and meditate on them and get those written in our heart so that when things do come up that we have to face, we can face it through the eyes of the understanding of who your God is all the time. So the place we get his names, of course, is in the Word. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, you've magnified your word above all your name. What does that mean? That means that the word of God puts limits on the name of God. Let me give you an example what that would mean. We know that the word says that if I ask anything in Jesus' name, I can have what I ask if I believe in my heart, correct? So I've seen this happen more than once. Some young woman desires that man to be her husband. Well, he just happens to be somebody else's. But she prays in the name of Jesus and she knows she's going to get it. I'm so sorry, but he has raised his word above all his name that says, I am Jesus, you can ask in my name. He's raised his word that says, don't commit adultery. Don't covet your neighbor's husband or your neighbor's wife. That's what that means. So this verse keeps us from misusing his name. So before we just throw, oh, I believe I can have that in the name of Jesus. Before we just throw in the name of Jesus at something, we've got to be sure that the something we're desiring and that he said you can have is in here. That it's not coming out of your own head. It's not your own flesh. It has to be in agreement with here. It has to be. Okay. Psalm 119:89 says, Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. That means your desire, you're begging and pleading and whining for something, is not going to change who he is and what his word says. It will not. Amen. He will not change. So, do I know God based on who he says he is, or do I know God based on what others have told me? Think about it. You know, it's a good thing to go home and make a list. What do I know about God? And where does it say that in the Word? Where does the Word confirm what I know? It helps you to dig in the Word. We got to be Word people. We do. More so than we've ever been in this day that we're living in. And the reason we need to know him in every aspect that we possibly can is because we can only experience him and glorify him and enjoy him in proportion to how we know him. That would be like, I can know you as a friend. I can know my husband as a friend. Do you see that there's a difference? Because of their relationship. So, I will enjoy friendship with you differently than I will enjoy friendship with him. And whatever we enjoy and know about the Lord is based on what's in our heart and what we really truly know. If you have never known him as a healer and you're sick, you can't go to the God who has provided finances and say, well, you know, I don't know about this healing stuff, but I know you gave me money one day. You bailed me out here. He wants us to know him by experience in every aspect. And it's always growing in us. It should be. Before Jesus left the earth, he said, one of the last things he said to his dad was, I have declared to them your name. Your name? See, a name is so important. To the Hebrew people, a name meant who that person was. When God said, I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham, it wasn't like, you know, I just think I want to throw a ham on the end of it. No, it changed the definition as to who he was. You see, the definition of Abram was, I think, exalted father. That's just Abram. Now God says, I'm changing it. Father of many nations. It's important to know the name. And for whatever reason, the Lord chose the Hebrew language to begin and to put this, to speak this. So to understand what they understood when they thought about a name will help us to get more out of it. Hosea 4 verse 1 says, there's no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. He was talking about Israel at the time. And then 5 verses later he says, remember, there's no knowledge of God in the land. Hosea 4 verse 6, and my people perish for lack of knowledge. So does it matter what kind of knowledge we have about our God? Absolutely. Absolutely. So as I got serious about this, I found one more verse I want to share with you. Daniel 11:32, and we've said this, we pulled it right out of Daniel's whole vision and dream. The people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You got to know him before you're going to be strong. You got to know him before those things you want to do in his name are going to happen. You got to know him. You've got to know him. and God will always live up to his names.
Amen.
He'll never go, ooh, man, you know, I blew it there. They thought I was going to be their strength and I never showed up. He'll never, ever, 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 ever do that because he said, I don't change. I'm God and I don't change. So I said, okay, Lord, where do I begin with this? So I went to Google. I want a list of the names of God. There is an amazing, you can go there and you can find all kinds of ministries, teachers, pastors who have put lists out there that will have the address, the reference. This is the name of God and this is where you find it in the Bible and this is what it means. It's amazing the tools that are out there for us to learn about God. And Google, I don't even believe is anything Christian, but it's still there. So for now, exactly. So I thought, I'll start at the beginning. I went to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 1. You all know what it says. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So I looked. I said, okay, what is God? What's the definition of God? In the Hebrew, it's Elohim. It's plural. He's introducing the Trinity right at this very time in the very first sentence of the Bible. He says, it's more than just me. It's the Father. It's the Son. Hebrews backs up that Jesus was the creator. The next verse says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. So we got the Father and we got the Son and we got the Spirit and they're in agreement with this creation. So I said, okay, what does God mean? What's the definition? Mighty in strength. So powerful his words are that worlds were framed by his spoken word. He's the ruler of all. He cannot be confined to any space or area, so he's here. But if we go there, he's there. If we go there, he's there. He can bring light out of darkness. He can do that. Absolute authority. God, we use the, yeah, I believe in God. Really? And I read that and I thought, when I say things like, well, you know, God said blah, blah, this, and God said this, and God led me to do this. Man, I got to tell you that I don't always think all those things through. Who it was that just spoke to me. Who it was that got us here safely today. Wow. He's mighty in strength. Oh. And then we go on to Genesis chapter 2. And now when you look in your Bible, you'll see, and the Lord God. And I always thought, why is he God in chapter 1? And now he's the Lord God. And Lord is all capitals. L, O, capital O, capital R, capital D. When you see it like that, it's the same as him saying Jehovah God. And that means self-existent. Possesses life in himself. Eternal. Unchangeable. Without beginning, without end. So when I read aloud something that says, and the Lord God did this or that, this is what it would say if we had an expanded definition version. It's talking about a God who's mighty in strength, whose words are so powerful that worlds were framed when he spoke, a God who needs no one else to exist. He possesses all life within himself. He has no beginning and he is without end. He can bring light out of darkness and can't be confined to any space or area. He is the ruler of all. Lord God. That's our Lord God. Wow. Now, do you think if our relationship with our Lord God, that's without any of the other definitions, would increase, that we would focus on it? Do you think anything any president could do could bother you? Uh-uh. Would you be afraid of what's coming, what might be coming against Christians? Not if I know my Lord God. Do I know him? That's what he said. You want to be prepared for what's coming?
Yeah.
We do. Amen, Holly. We want to be prepared. Know your God. Get to know him better and better. So now there's a few very familiar names of Jehovah God. Some of us have learned, we went through a class, there was some teachings that went around the Christian family years ago. I don't even know how many years ago, and they were just the teachings on he's Jehovah, my righteousness. He's Jehovah who sanctifies. He's Jehovah Shalom, my peace. He's Jehovah Shammah. He's ever present. He's Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the provider. And he's Jehovah Rohi. He's our shepherd. You know, if we took every one of those, sat and meditated, turned your TV off, put your phone on mute, closed the door, and got yourself in a place, quiet, breathing is good. Whatever you were just doing, let it go. Just let it go. First one, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but that's okay. My righteousness. He gave me, Jesus gave me his righteousness. That means he's Jehovah God. That's the Lord God. He's righteous. What does that mean to you? I used to go over that word righteous and go, that's good. I don't know what it means. Does everything right. What he does is 100% holy, pure, and just. He's my God. And Jesus took that righteousness of the Father and gave it to me? Really? Doesn't that make your head go tilt? Really, Lord? Really? I am that? You are that in me? And then in your quiet moment, paint a picture. What does that look like? If I could really live in that, if I could really believe it, if I could walk in that every moment of every day in every situation, what would I look like? How would I act different than maybe something I did yesterday that wasn't good? Maybe something I had to go repent for? What if I lived as the righteousness? What if I knew that that my God was that righteous and that just and that holy and pure? And if I was in a place of persecution for believing in him, would he be standing right there with me? Yes. Do you know that? We have to know that. You know, I've heard so many people say, what if this persecution really comes? I'm afraid I'm going to deny the Lord. Get to know him. Get to know him. And I can understand you thinking that, because we can read stories of how people have been persecuted and what gets done to their bodies and the pain. But he's there with you in it. He's there. Would that make a difference? All the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Do you all know who Corrie Ten Boom is? Is there anybody who doesn't? You all don't? Go get the movie, The Hiding Place. Corrie Ten Boom was from the Netherlands. Her and her family took Jews into their house to save their life during the Holocaust. And they got turned in by a friend. And they got to spend 10 months in a concentration camp, a work camp. Abused. Ugly. The movie is excellent. The Hiding Place, if you haven't seen it. She got out. Her sister died there. Her father died there. Other relatives died there. But she got out. And when she got out, she said, I've experienced his presence. in the deepest, darkest hell that man can create. I've tested the promises of the Bible, and believe me, you can count on them. Now see, it's easy when you and I say things like that because he got us a parking place close to the door at the grocery store. Praise God, he's good. It's good when we can say that, you know, I had a cold and I believed that he was going to take my sniffles and he did. That's awesome because it helps us to start trusting him. But when you can go through a concentration camp and come out and say that, she knows something about God you and I don't know yet. We've not experienced yet. But if we know him, and if we determine in this day, in this moment, that I will not let go of that, no matter what, I believe that if I'm to be persecuted in some way, he will be there with me. He will be there with me. both my husband and I have read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. He's read it many times, and I've read it a couple. And I don't remember who the person was, but they were being burned at the stake because they wouldn't deny Jesus. And they knew they were sentenced to that. And before they started the fire, some other person came up and said, would you let me know if he really is true? If he's really faithful and will show up with you? If he is, when they burn you, lift one finger. I need to know. They started the fire, and that person that was burning lifted two fingers. If he's faithful to us now, he will be faithful to us then, if that should happen. He will not deny us. He will be faithful. He cannot be unfaithful. He can't. So when you find yourself being fearful of that, think of who he is, not who you are, but who he is. We can go down every one of those Jehovah things. Jehovah, he's this things. Jehovah, he's that. He's my shepherd. Do you wonder what you're going to do and how you're going to get through this and when you're going to know what to go by and what not to and who to say things to and when to keep your mouth shut? You got a shepherd that leads you. He will always lead you. He will not stop. He can't, because that's who he is. He's committed to who he is. You and I, we can flip-flop sometimes and we want to get to the place we don't. After we flip, we don't flop. We want to get firm. Be firm with the word. Be firm with who he is. Be firm on your knowledge of who you are in him. That's what he wants. When we do that right now, we'll be prepared. We will be prepared. As we feast on his word, which is truth, we'll know when somebody's lying to us. For one thing, you might even turn your TV on and the Holy Spirit might say, not now. You got to turn it off then. Because whatever they're saying is going to not do you any good. Every time we violate that, if we know not to and we do, you're going to look back someday and go, you know what? I knew he said don't do it and I did it anyway. He's the God who sees. I don't know how to pronounce the Hebrew word for this, but it's in Genesis 16, verse 13. It's when Hagar had taken Ishmael, and she thinks they're going to die in the wilderness. And she came face to face with the God who sees, alone in the wilderness, not the wife and not the son of the promise, but yet God did not leave them. What a God. What a God. So if you feel you're alone, you feel nobody knows, nobody can see, nobody gives, nobody cares about me, The God who sees does. And you know when he sees? Always. He sees even when we don't want him to see. You can't hide from him. You can't hide. He sees. He knows. He's amazing. He's just amazing. I remember a time when my first husband had just been diagnosed with cancer. And I was at the hospital. They had just done another x-ray, and the doctor brought me in to show it to me, and I saw his lungs. One of them was completely filled with cancer, and the other one was just partially filled. And what I wanted to do, I wanted to faint. I thought, if I could faint now, I'd love to faint. Because what do I do? And it wasn't the cancer, it was he wasn't saved. That was the big issue. And I thought, I could let myself just whing. And you know what I heard in my heart? He who faints in the day of adversity, his strength is small. Proverbs 24:10. You know why it was in there? Because I read Proverbs every single day, and I've done it for a long time, 40 years. Read one a day. Did I memorize it? No. But was it there? Oh yes, it was there. And I followed it with, and I am strong because my strength is the Lord. My strength is the Lord. What shall I be afraid of? But you see, when you put the word in, you just keep feeding. You just keep feeding. You just keep feeding. When you need it, the Holy Spirit will bring up exactly what you need. Exactly. He won't let you down. He won't. He won't. Were you going to make it through this crazy time? Absolutely. If you choose. If you choose to know him. Choose to know him. Choose to pursue him. Go after him. Go after the truth. Go after that in your heart. Do you know him as your shepherd? He wants to lead you. Do you know you can hear him? Don't argue with a word. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Everybody say, bah. See? We're all sheep. And you know his voice. You know his voice because he said so. We got the names of Jesus we can meditate on. I just took the little list from Isaiah 9. He's wonderful. He's a counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus, he's in me. He's in you. Oh my gosh. Why would we fear what man can do to us? Well, the only reason is because we're not thinking right. We're not thinking with who's in us. And then we've got the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's good that I go because he's going to come and be with you always. 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 And I just took these definitions out of my Amplified Bible. He's my comforter, my helper, my counselor, my intercessor, my advocate, my strengthener, my standby. Ooh, he's here. He's there. And he's right next to you. It doesn't matter if you're alone. It doesn't matter if you're with somebody. He's with you. Because he said he would be. See, when we think right, now I bet for the next, for the last 40 minutes, you've not thought about how bad the country is. Because you've been thinking about how great he is. See, that rescues us. We have become so used to our God is good all the time culture with no challenges to our faith or minimal challenges. He wants us to be ready for every single challenge. He wouldn't have taken the time to speak all of Matthew from 24 on, which is about our times now. And it's in Thessalonians and it's in Peter. It's splattered here and there. He did it to prepare us. It's not just, this would be good, interesting. Somebody could make a movie out of this someday. No, he did it so we know. He did it so we know. You know, it was, I don't know, a month ago or so, maybe 2 months, when Pastor Mike shared about starting a home Bible study. How many of you were here that day that he shared about that? Okay. How many of you have done it? Okay. You know what? Pray seriously. At some point in our country, I don't know if it's 10 months, 10 years, our church is going to go underground. What you do now, you're going to be paving the way for a future for people for you to fellowship with, minister to. Do it now. All you have to have to do a home Bible study is a heart that wants to know the Lord and a Bible that you can just sit and read, and you can all read it together and share what you think. You might be right, you might be wrong, you might have questions you can't answer. Big deal. Come back next month, we'll answer the question. Next week, whatever. It's okay to say, I don't know. But trust the power that's in this word to do what only it can do. You have to trust this. I want to end with a little, it's a little thing I put on my Facebook page. I know a few of you have seen it. It was a pastor talking about a trip he had taken to China and what he found there in the Chinese Christians. And I thought, oh, I'd like to share that. And I thought, I better check it out to be sure that that video was real. And I found his story. And this is something he spoke to his church in 2019, June. And he is the pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, Hawaii. Suffering for Jesus in Hawaii, right? But I pray this touches your heart to tell you what other Christians go through and what they know and how they do it. Okay. He said he went to the Hunan province to train church leaders. There were 22 in all, many of whom rode by train 13 hours to get to the event, which was held secretly in a hotel room. They all sat on the hardwood floor as he taught all day long from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. In a video that was posted to social media, which is on my Facebook page now, which has been viewed by over a million people, he recalled asking the Christians what might happen if they got caught. Oh, you'll get, he said, if you get caught, you'll get deported within 24 hours and we'll go to prison for 3 years. The pastor then asked the leaders, how many of those present have been in prison for their faith? 18 out of 22 had already been imprisoned. Then he said, about how many people do you leaders, you 22 leaders, represent in China? A little over 20 million. See, we don't know what might happen if we start a small group, if we start a Bible study with one person. You don't know. Then he began to hand out Bibles, but he didn't have enough to go around, and he noticed one woman in attendance handed her Bible to the person sitting next to her. Then he observed, and then afterwards he said, I noticed you were speaking the whole chapter we were reading. And she said, oh yes, I've memorized many chapters. And he said, wow, where did you memorize those chapters? She said, oh, in prison, you have lots of time. Well, he said, I thought they confiscated Bibles. Oh yes, but people bring in scriptures written on little pieces of paper. And he said, if they find the paper on you, won't they confiscate that? Oh yes, that's why you memorize as fast as you can. It made me think, how many scriptures do I have memorized? And the woman said, They can take the paper away, but they cannot take what's hidden in your heart. So he asked before he left, "What can I pray for you before I leave?" And they said, "Pray that we can have church here like you have in America, where we don't have to hide, where we can be right out in the open." And he said, "I can't do that." He said, you rode the train for 13 hours in my country. If you have to drive more than an hour, people don't want to come. You sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit more than 40 minutes, they want to leave. You sat not only for 3 days on a hard wooden floor, but you did it without air conditioning. In my country, if it's not padded pews and air conditioning, people often don't want to come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family. Most people don't read them. You hardly have any Bibles, and you memorize them from pieces of paper." He looked at the 22 sitting there and said, "I will not pray that you become like us. I will pray that we become like you." So I didn't sleep well last night. So in my not sleeping well, I'm thinking, okay, what scriptures do I have memorized? I need to go memorize more. I need to memorize more. I need to get more serious. And I thought I had been serious, but when I read something like this, I need to get more serious. Anybody else want to get more serious? Let's stand up. Let's commit ourselves to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that sees you standing right now. Lord, look at us. We are standing because we want to be more serious about you. We want to be prepared for what's coming. We want to glorify your name, whether it's in life or death, because you're worth it, because there's nobody like you. Nobody's ever done for us what you've done for us. Lord, see our hearts. Pierce each heart right now with your Holy Spirit. Convict us so that even when we go home, we remember this moment. And yes, we will get into our word. Yes, we will meditate. Yes, we will be strong. Yes, we will yet let you live your whole life through us, Jesus. And we want to glorify you. And I believe, Father, every person standing here is serious to follow you with all their heart. Thank you that you have called us, that you've given us this time to prepare. Help us all, Lord, to use it wisely. In your name, Jesus. Amen.